It's cold out there today. Colder than the Grand Slam bat flip that Vlad Jr. unleashed against the Yankees in the ALDS. But do you know where it's toasty and warm and where baseball's hot stove is brewing along? The Morning Lineup Podcast. We're here Monday through Friday, first thing in the morning, to deliver you all the trade, signings, and news from the MLB offseason. All in under 10 minutes on anywhere you get your podcasts. Come in from the cold and join us.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we can talk a little bit about the Rangers here for sure, because there's all kinds of stuff happening with the Rangers. But I wanted to throw this out first. Did you see what Artie Moreno said from the Angels?
I did actually see it. And you had told me about it prior, and then I was able to find it, and goodness, goodness.
It's not great.
He might be right.
Okay, so I am intrigued by that. Now, both in general and when it comes to going to a game live.
The Falcons are franchise tagging Kyle Pitts, Kevin, so your Kyle Pitts kick tire situation.
Yeah.
Very, very clear.
Wow, what a terrible decision that is. But all right, I mean, he did have his first 100-yard game in 8 billion years, so why the hell not? Do you have any idea, do you, Alec, know offhand what the price is for franchise tight end?
Yeah, it'll be 1 year fully guaranteed, $15 million. But the hope is that they're going to work out a long-term deal.
Right, okay. Which is, you know, that's what you would want. That's what we all, Corey, we got a lot of stuff going on. That's what we all would have wanted to hear Stephen Jones say, right? As opposed to, we've franchised players in the past. He'll be back. You would have loved to hear him be like, but our real goal is to get a long-term deal done.
George Kittle's the highest at 19-1.
Okay.
Trey McBride at 19. Kelsey at 17-1-25. Hawkinson 16.5. And then Njoku at 13-6. So that's what puts it at 15.
Okay.
Is the average of those five, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. Now, this question, it's not just about baseball, but it's a question of what do fans want in general, but also what do you want from your live experience? Because the Los Angeles Angels, who, you know, they've toyed with winning a little bit, but not really. Their owner, Artie Moreno, he was talking about like the fan experience, and he told reporters on Friday the number one thing fans want is affordability. They want affordability, they want safety, and they want a good experience when they come to the ballpark. Believe it or not, winning is not in their top five. Now, that's a fascinating hypothesis, but he went on to talk about a survey that they had with their season ticket holders and other Angels fans, that they were going to provide that information to the Orange County Register. And people followed up and asked for more specifics about said survey that they commissioned, and the Angels declined comments when asked about the specifics of the survey, which almost makes it seem like he just made that up.
Yeah, it does.
Now, the new director of the Players Association, Bruce Meyer, who we said has been in charge of labor negotiations for the last 8-9 years, he said, let's just say players took notice of it. And we did too, specifically talking about Moreno's comments. And so I'm fascinated by the concept of fans in general, and then fans when you go to the ballpark, the stadium, the arena, like, what is important to you? Because I kind of get what you're saying, but I still feel like winning is pretty dang important for a lot of folks.
Yes. Ultimately, in the grand scheme of things. But Kevin, I'm not sure what the number is here, but I'm betting about 7% of baseball fans have ever been in a stadium.
That's got to be higher, right?
Probably so. It feels
just
like
because of the inventory?
The accessibility. It seems like baseball is far more accessible,
right?
In a lot of different ways. Yeah. And, like, you can get a $10 ticket sometimes. And they do great sales.
Sure.
Like, the Rangers have some really great options and opportunities. I do think fans get priced out of things and don't show up. I absolutely think they're like, it's going to cost me $600 to take my family to a game tonight.
Right.
I don't have that. I can't do that. I would love to get tickets for, you know, a couple of these games. But that's how much that's going to cost. Having been to the Angel Stadium, everything is really, it's a good experience. Their scoreboard sucks. That's the one thing that I'll say. They got to fix the scoreboard. It's too much. It's not even the right colors of the team. Like, you didn't get to see it, but
okay.
I've been there. It looked like Padres colors, and there was just too much going on. I was like, this is why I love the Rangers and Chuck Morgan's experience. But ultimately, you do want to leave and say you saw a good game.
Sure.
But, Kevin, a lot of people show up to these games and sit in the stands and talk to their friends and never look at the field one time. They get there, they look at it, they're like, this is amazing. Then they get their beer and their hot dog, they're having a chat. Oh, cotton candy time. Do I need a souvenir before I leave? I want a hat. You know, there's lots of things that are distracting, and as long as they can get those things, they're good.
So from that perspective, that level of affordability or convenience, I mean, or taste or whatever.
This is the same thing in a lot of businesses. You know your hardcore fans, the ones that want wins are going to come back. It's the ones that are there casually. How do you keep them? And by keeping it affordable, he's right in that respect. In the grand scheme of things, success is measured in sports by wins and championships. The business people look at it as their revenues and their profits. And that's where I think he's right. And I think he's completely disconnected from sports fans' reality on what the sports fan wants.
Yeah, and see, that's what I'm afraid of, is that he's like, and that's why we can spend the amount of money we do or whatever. Or maybe he's just like, hey, I tried before. I had the two best players. We could have won anything. But somebody texted this in to go along with all of that. From the 469, hot take, the biggest fans don't attend games. And then we follow this up with this text in the 972. I have questions about this. Agree on the cost. We go to maybe 2 to 3 times per year to see the Rangers, and it's $600 to $1,000 every time for our family of four. So definitely, and I respect that, but definitely some choices were made to go more upscale if you're spending $1,000 for your family of four at a Rangers game.
What are you talking about? Are you saying I can't have the good hot dog? I have to go on dollar dog night every time, Kevin, and
Wieners,
no mustard.
Yeah. Okay.
No mustard.
Okay, so the good hot dog is $6.
Yeah.
Okay. So
how many dollar dogs did I eat? Probably 10. So now I'm $60
you
in for
are,
four.
Okay, but that is just a matter of cheapness. You would never go into a scenario and you're like, you know what I'm feeling tonight? 10 hot dogs. It's just because they're cheap. So I'll take issue with that specifically. But the
$600, I think, is a fair number. For a family of five, I think that's a pretty fair number.
I definitely still think some parking's $25.
Okay, not for me.
What do you mean?
Not for me, Kevin.
Okay, you need the fancy parking. All right, yeah. Even when we get put further out in the media lot, yeah. I get it. I'm
now
like,
I'm gonna
this
have
is
to
so
have
far.
Extra hot dogs if I have to park further away because I gotta have energy to get back to the car.
Okay.
Show me your meat.
That actually makes more sense than anything else you've said in this entire show today, but. So I think the cost is a bigger issue with football. We all agree with that.
Yes.
And it can be a bigger issue for sure with basketball and hockey. But with hockey and baseball, I do think that the biggest fans go. Like basketball, look, you've been at the AAC for a Mavericks game in the before times and maybe a little bit whenever Cooper Flagg is not playing. It is very similar to that scenario you laid out for a baseball game. So I could see that. Obviously, football, we know the Cowboys have some very expensive things happening. So do teams across the rest of the NFL. For hockey, though, it feels like at least here, the biggest fans do go because they're like, damn the cost. Like, I'll
be there.
Yeah, they
have season tickets.
Yes, and they're like, I'll be there no matter what. And by the way, that person followed up from the 972. You're right. We do spend a little extra, but we don't go totally nuts. And
yeah, they were just pointing out the price they get. I get that.
So I hear you on that. For baseball, though, I do think the biggest fans go to the games just because there's a more dramatic a lot more dramatic amount of inventory available, both in terms of the number of seats compared to baseball and basketball, and in terms of the number of games.
Yeah, I just, Kevin, you and I have walked out of that stadium plenty of times as people are walking in. And a lot of times I'm like, these are a lot of new faces. And I just think there's constantly this continual turnover. But I see where you're going with that. I want wins as me to be able to talk about wins, to be able to talk about a team in the playoffs. I'm more excited to go to a playoff game. That's when you're really, Kevin, that's when you're going to get the most fans in the zone. They want that cheering experience. They want to be able to be part of something that moved the whole stadium. And like that's what they really want. But you build that throughout the year. You get to that because of what you did throughout the ball season. So if you're saying, what it sounds like he's saying is, why would we invest in our team when all they really want is to have a team on the field no matter who the players are?
Which, as you were just making reference to, Rangers fans will probably cringe at that because there was absolutely a time when it was...
The owner said that!
Yeah, they did. They were like, well, when more people show up, we'll have more money to go out and spend. You know, like, no, that is not the way this works. And plus,
give me something to cheer for.
And so don't you think that's why the Players Association, the new guy in charge, came in and he was like, yeah, no, the players took notice of that and we did too. That feels like Artie Moreno feels like he's setting himself
up.
Yeah, for failure there. And also to say winning is not in the top five of what fans want, and because of a study they commissioned, and then not being able to follow up by giving any specifics. Like, if you did that, wouldn't you be able to see, look, here, safety, affordability, convenient, like, just run down the things, and it's winning is sixth or seventh. Because if he had that study, that's a whole new thing, right? Because that's like kind
and the
of...
the whole league should look into
it. Yes, absolutely. But the fact that he was like, I don't know.
All right, let's say the whole league has this study. They find that out. Does that change... Does that kill the Players Association's leverage?
I don't think it does, but it should. But maybe it does, because the owners are sitting there and been like, we have fan after fan.
They just want to show up to our stadium and be around.
And like, what's that number? 40%? 30%? What's the number of fans who they don't list winning in the top five that really undercuts your case, right?
Because
if it's even 30%, like almost a third of your fans are like, no, I don't care. Just as long as we can have fun and we're safe. And that's not good for the players.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the owner can be like, see, I'm providing the people with what they want.
Yeah, he asked for it.
I just thought it was a really interesting comment that he made that's been picked up in terms of negotiating big picture. And then maybe you're right. Maybe there are people who just go to the game and they're like, I want to have fun. I want my parking to be cheap and close, and so they don't need to buy all this
more,
extra
need more
hot dogs.
Close parking. Closed parking is very important.
From the 817, buy a Lexus, then you can park for free and it's close.
It's only going to cost me a Lexus.
In the big picture.
I want to drive my platinum Chevy, you know, and that's more important to me.
And then from the 972, this is just what you're talking about, baseball environment. I've been to these games and half the people aren't even paying attention, so I can see how the game itself is ranked low.
And again, there are different times, because Mike's right. He went and he took his family and he was like, I just forgot being at these games how great the environment is for being able to talk to your kids about what's going on in the game, talk about other things, but be at a game. He's right. You're at the game and you're with your family. This is your chance to bond. It really is. It should be a place where you make these kinds of great memories just like that. It's absolutely built for that. But whenever it's time for your guy to crush, you got to be ready to cheer.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the Expressway where we're going to expand one of our segments. We had Wanker of the Weekend, but now it's going to be Wankers and Winners of the Weekend. But next, our NFL draft focus continues. This time, probably, definitely, almost for sure, with a breakdown of TJ Parker and Peter Woods. Next right here on The Fan.
And the play action pass, and he gets planted by TJ Parker. Fumble. Clemson ball.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were going to do this on Friday, but there's always breaking news happening on the Masterpiece. If you missed it about 45 minutes ago, Stephen Jones gives some fairly straight, fairly run-of-the-mill answers about franchise tagging George Pickens, said it should be done by the end of the week, did not follow up about time frame for potentially a long-term contract.
Kevin, other breaking news.
Oh.
From our friend Brian Ray, who we'll have on it on Wednesday.
Mm.
Glenn Gullitson did not have a full update on Mikko Rantanen, but did confirm they will not have him for the first game or two. Jake Ottinger, this is terrifying. Okay. He also will not play the first game.
Why can't he play?
Travel return logistics. Casey DeSmith was always planned to start the first game back.
Okay.
And Radek Fox, also a question mark for the first game back.
Look,
I don't know if we're going to win this one, Kevin.
I'm not going to let this steal my joy of watching Olympic hockey. But yeah, the first one is concerning because as soon as when you hear like, oh, it's probably not a season ending injury, you're like, what? We have 25 games left. But okay,
we really need him for the playoffs.
He'll miss one or two, maybe three. Just tell me that will be it, Corey. Just tell me that will be it.
I wish I could.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But I don't really have any answers for you, so.
Well, hopefully you'll have answers for me on the gridiron.
Let's go. Hit the music, Alec. Yeah, music ready.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is I'm really looking forward to reading this later. Dane Brugler, 21 prospects I can't wait to see at the NFL Combine.
Did you know Bobby will be there tomorrow?
Yeah, NFL Combine coverage starts tomorrow with Bobby Belt.
Mm.
Sean and RJ fly out right after the show. Whole show will be together, and this is fun, dude. This is a good time to be a Tolo, I think. This is probably, you need to amp up your Toloing right now, and if you can't do it via a regular terrestrial radio, get the Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. Use that.
I did amp myself up, and then I headbutted a wall.
I see.
That's what happened to me.
And you've laughed at more of my jokes today, so maybe he
is concussed.
Is
that a sign?
Maybe it is. What's going on here?
I'm supposed to be in, like, pre-concussion protocol, so if you notice anything weird, so...
Yeah, Aiden, should these lights be so bright in here?
But that's the
Kevin's
thing.
He said it's okay.
They should. I'm fine.
Aiden's a doctor.
But you're right. It's going to be super fun, and from the combine to spring training and everything in between, we've got you covered. I love it.
I did see Daniel Jeremiah also updated his draft board a little bit. Alec, where exactly does he have David Bailey now?
It's his top edge.
Oh.
We were very hyped about David Bailey when we watched him. We were like, what? How did, what?
Yes.
No wonder Tech was what Tech was this year. They invested very smartly. He is the number 3 overall pick. By the way, Jeremiah Love is 2. So
you don't think that's actually going to happen? I mean, I know that's not how he's stacking his board right now, but you'd be pretty shocked to see him go off the board at 2.
Yeah,
right?
and these are all different. You know, the mock drafts and the top 50. Broadus's mock draft is going to look different than his top 50. His top 50 is his stack, but then teams are like, do I need that? Do I need a quarterback?
Right.
His top 50, Sonny Styles, who we talked about a lot, is 5. Ahead of Bain at 6. Kevin Mansoor Delane at 8.
Ooh. Did you skip 7?
No. Okay. Yeah, I did. It was Arvell Reese.
Okay.
Or Carnell Tate. I'm sorry.
You going to tell me?
Caleb Downs is the 9th player.
Okay.
And then a couple offensive linemen.
He's going to be like 10 or 11.
He has a 12, Mauigoa, out of Miami, offensive tackle, who was awesome.
Yeah.
If you watched him play, you're just like, that dude is awesome. But unfortunately, it's not some of the guys that we've been very excited about.
But wouldn't you love to
again,
see
a stack.
Like an offensive line run or something leading to the Cowboys pick? That would be phenomenal.
Yes, and I think you will. Now, whether or not one of those three that we're hoping for is there, that's a different story for a different time. All right, guys. TJ Parker, can we start with him?
Sure.
Here's my notes on TJ Parker. Sets a good edge.
Okay. Off to a good start. We need that.
The dude can absolutely force fumbles. Like, this is something that this guy, he does very well. He is active with his hands, and he can force the ball out of other people's bodies. 6 forced fumbles in 24. So that's a nice thing. It's not like he hits them and it happened. He's intentionally built for this. So this is a guy that does something like that. Those were two of my notes. I have two other notes.
Oh no, these are going to be bad notes, I think.
My feeling after watching 15 plays is he's fine.
Okay.
And then my next note was he doesn't win a lot just after the jump. So, like, it takes time for him to win.
Yeah.
And there are things that he does well in the running game that if you need this piece, he'll absolutely grow and develop into that. The pass rush next phase, I still feel like he needs to win a little bit more. His hands are super active, and that can be a very big thing for you. I think he is your defensive end edge guy right there. Just put him there and say good luck. I'm not moving him around too much. But after watching TJ Parker, and again, this is what I told Alec the other day. I think I'm going to start working my way in the middle up.
Yeah.
Rather than the, like, you watch David Bailey and you're just like, hell yeah, give me somebody better than that. And then you watch him and you're like, okay, David Bailey was better. So that's where kind of I am.
Right.
Is that he's the next tier down.
Right.
Whenever you get into these edges in the conversation here. Plus, let's think about this for a second. We all saw Bane, so we haven't watched him yet because we all saw a lot of him. That's the only reason I haven't watched him.
Yeah.
We've watched Falk, Cassius Howell. We've watched Mason Thomas. We've watched about 5 or 6 dudes so far. And this is what happens after you watch that many players.
So I keep thinking about the commercial then that they showed a whole bunch during the Olympics. Is your, if I had to boil it down to one word, your take is meh.
He's fine.
Okay.
He's fine.
Alec, are you going to counterpoint or do I need to drop this person?
There's something interesting here with him is look at his 2024 numbers compared to his 2025. 2024, he was absolutely absurd. He had 11 sacks, which was 9th in the country, 19.5 tackles for loss, which was 5th in the country, and a school record 6 forced fumbles over 14 games. Awesome. But in the offseason, coaches say, hey, he's pretty good. We should probably allocate more people towards him. That's exactly what happened. He got a lot more attention in 2025, and the numbers go down to 37 total tackles, 9.5 sacks, or 9.5 tackles for loss, rather, and just 5 sacks. So whenever
0 forced fumbles this year.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Do you like this note from Lance Zierlein? His 2024 tape is surely a better representation of his upside.
100%. That's what you could get if he's with the right coaching and everything. He's got all the tools. He's athletic. He's quick enough off the snap. He really attacks at the point of attack right off the line of scrimmage. He can really abuse the blockers outside. You know, like as a true edge, that outside hand, he will make that your weakness pretty quickly. So he's technically sound. It's just sometimes he will try to do too much. Like he'll get widened out too far.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if that outside hand is actually functional on the offensive tackle, he will go out too wide and waste too much time, giving himself a longer path to the quarterback. Short strider. He definitely needs to diversify his tools. He's kind of just a one-trick pony when it comes to his pass rush.
How much does that... I'm sorry, Alec. We need to stop right here, if you don't mind. Because y'all have seen so many of the more top guys, how concerned do you get about the one-trick pony, this is my one-move rusher?
Very concerned.
Yeah.
This is the NFL.
This ain't gonna fly.
Yeah, the NFL, that trick better be the best trick. You know what I'm saying? Like, and okay. It better be like something that nobody can stop. But the fact is, it's the NFL. They'll teach you to stop it.
Okay,
so you have to have a counter. You have to, and we've seen guys that can counter within the play. And that's that their balance and those things to be able to add to that. So if he wasn't able to do it or practicing at it in the college level, how's he going to be able to, you know, get his body control at that level at the next place? So that's where it is for me, is this, you got it. He can develop. There's nothing that says he can't develop. One question I did have, though, and Alec, you kind of touched on a little bit. We've seen so many players be able to track down in the run game from the other side of the field. This is something that I didn't feel like I just got a lot of from him, was once the play went another way, he was kind of out of the play. And that's
okay.
That's fine, but I need load them all up, dude. Load up all the best athletes. Let me get those guys on the field, because we got to make tackles and we got to make plays. And I just feel like he's going to give you what you expect out there.
All right, so not the most auspicious start for our prospects today.
Yeah. He could go out and change some minds.
Sure.
Let's say he goes out there and runs a 4.340. Which would be incredible, by the way. Like, incredible. Man,
at 6'3", yeah, 260.
We're converting him to a receiver.
I was going to say, you need to run. You need to draw up a play for him and just be like, stop that guy.
Yeah. Like, there's some things that he could do that can change some minds. His agility could definitely jump a little bit more, and people are going to go, I can do something with that.
And so that's the fascination about scouting that I've always had, is you watched the games and the play. Are you ever surprised by how much people's stock can change because of those numbers, even though you're like, I watched the actual game and I did not see that payoff?
Mm-hmm.
That's always weird to me.
Yeah. Here were some comparisons, by the way. Mykel Williams out of Georgia.
Okay.
Cameron Thomas out of San Diego State. And Marshawn Nealon. Marshawn Nealon was actually the highest percentage like similarity, which Marshawn Nealon was a good player.
Yeah.
He was a very good player. We thought there was still a lot of room to grow for him.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where my vision would be for him.
All right.
Point.
Who's up next on the docket today?
Peter Woods.
I don't think we actually have a highlight for him. Don't worry.
Guess what?
You do have a highlight?
Peter Woods played right next to TJ Parker, Kevin.
Oh.
Interior defensive line. Extremely active feet. First step, pops, then chops his way into the power, using his hands to slide the block and shed it away. Big swipe move. Love this dude's swipe move. He gets in there, gets going. Extremely active athleticism. I think you can move him around across the entire defensive line. Size-wise, 6'3", 315. I think he has room to put on a little more weight if he wants to. But he doesn't necessarily have to be able to play as nimbly as I think that he can. Don't know if nimbly is a word, but we used it just now.
We made it!
So, yeah, he kind of reminds me of... Here's my notes kept telling me this. He kind of reminds me of Osa, though, in that all these things look really cool, but the numbers don't pop. Okay. And you're like, hold on. Okay, so he's an interior defensive lineman. Is he getting home enough? All these things that he does apply he absolutely applies pressure inside of that pocket. And then I did see him. There was one he chased down a back from to the other sideline. It was an awesome play on his part. He's one of those guys that can stretch and get back and help out on that side too. Whenever the ball, if it gets past them, he will not stop. He is one of those kind of guys. Powerful hands off the snap. A lot of good quality things I like about him for sure.
All right. So feels like a much more positive start to the scouting breakdown, Mr. Medford.
I could definitely tear it down a little bit.
Man.
I definitely could.
So you guys kind of flipped roles on these two prospects.
No, because I do think he will develop into everything that he can be. I think he has the want to, and like Corey said, he has space to put on more weight, and that's because last offseason he actually slimmed down, mm-hmm. like visibly. He is visibly leaner right now than he was in the 2024 season, and his production actually dropped a little bit, and I think that's why. So it almost gives me, not comparing the players, just situations. Remember Mozzie Smith with the coordinator changes here in Dallas,
right.
was asked, can you be leaner? Can you put on weight? Can you be leaner again? that's kind of happening here where he hasn't really found who he wants to be physically yet. I feel like an NFL team that just tells him, hey, you're going to be the 330-pound defensive tackle, or hey, you are going to be the leaner, more hybrid defensive tackle. If you tell him he's going to be one thing, I think you're okay. If you want to do NFL comparisons, I'd say...
I do want to add this. Tom Allen was a new defensive coordinator last year.
Yeah, so I think that plays into it, just different regimes.
He was supposed to overhaul the defense for Clemson, so that absolutely could have had had an effect on both of these players.
Yeah, different expectations. I think that is honestly a huge thing, so I don't want to put too much stock into it, but in the same vein as Mozzie, it's like all the athletic talent in the world, production doesn't exactly match it, but when you do watch him, he's one of a kind when you talk about his athleticism. I think his last 40 was timed under 4.9, which is just absurd for a guy his size. He is massive. He's got sideline to sideline speed that I haven't seen from a defensive tackle like ever. Mm-hmm. He will chase down the ball carrier as a 300 plus pound defensive tackle. He's pretty comfortable doing that too. He shows flashes of being an elite run defender. He's not quite there consistently, but he's got the motor and the speed. That's why I think he will develop. He gives me a lot of Javon Hargrave vibes when I watch him, which, very good player. He was a two-time Pro Bowler in his time with the Eagles, so I see a lot of similarities there. He's definitely a true first-round player. He's the best defensive tackle by far in this draft, in my mind. It's just, can he find physically the consistency of who he wants to be as a player?
Consistency. That phrase right there, that word. So it's not a phrase, Kevin. It's a word. Consistency for him has got to be more consistent.
Hey, friends. I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects. And if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.
So ran out some steam there. So your verdict is Woods over Parker?
Yeah.
I know.
That being said, looking at Daniel Jeremiah's stack right now, he's got Parker at 32. He moved up six spots, it appears.
Okay.
And he's got Peter Woods at 38.
Interesting.
So I think a little bit of the consistency has something to do with that for sure.
And Alec, you are team Peter Woods over TJ Parker strictly in terms of the player, not fit or anything like that.
Yeah, just because the athleticism alone, and that's what the draft and the combine is for. The athleticism is going to win you a lot of style points, and I think teams are going to bank on that for sure. He'll go probably earlier than people expect.
I also am kind of interested to see how much Senior Bowl affected some of these things, too. Because the Senior Bowl and the draft, all these things post your tape. Well, hold on. Then you can go back and you can be like, dude, I did have a new defensive coordinator and these, but I still got this that matches at the NFL level.
With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to do Wanker of the Weekend, so why don't you go ahead and give me cut number four, because I feel like that fits perfectly into what we're about to do.
Get over top. Now Cage. The car moving in. He scores!
But, you know, we did say we were going to expand this segment to wankers and winners of the weekend.
Oh, so you're ready to do that now, huh?
If we're going to have winners of the weekend as well, I feel like we should probably play cut three, and Canada can represent the wankers, and this one can represent the winners.
Matthews beat McKinnon for the puck. Boldy looking to push through. There, Boldy to the net. He scores!
Man, don't you hope... In the history of hockey, Boldy's efforts on that goal don't get lost.
Yeah.
I know the game went to overtime and Hellebuck was ridiculous, and then you get the game winner for somebody who had two of their teeth knocked out. But, like, bouncing the puck up, just saying, screw y'all, and squeezing between two Canadian defensemen and then gaining it and then, pow, putting it in the back of the net, that was awesome.
Yeah, and that's essentially what create some of our best goals is the
for sure
the complete focus on where puck is and where I'm going with it. And like that's what creates these great moments that you're just like, he was not going. When you say he was not going to be denied, that's it right there.
Would you guys like to start with the wankers or the winners of the weekend?
Let's go with wankers.
All right. Kansas basketball. No doubt Fred Davis is aware of this. The Jayhawks lost to Cincinnati 84-68 over the weekend. They had not lost to an unranked team at home by 10 or more points since 1993. 425 straight games, but they lose to Cincinnati in this one.
This is what NIL does, Kevin.
Is that your number one takeaway from that?
NIL's made things that we always known about teams. We don't know them anymore.
Okay.
Like, who is even Duke at this point?
You know what? I'm glad that you brought that up. They'll be in the winners. But Darren Peterson did play most all of the game, 32 minutes. Maybe that's why they lost. Now, let's go to Jake Paul.
Dude, there's a lot of hate going Darren Peterson's way. As a matter of fact, Bill Simmons, who I love as a writer.
Correct.
Recently on his podcast, threw out our opinion without crediting us. That this is starting to bring back Ben Simmons flashlights.
Story of our lives.
And I'm like, hey, we said that two weeks ago.
Yeah, like I said, hear that sports opinion first on our show and then notice how many other people pick it up. Jake Paul. So Jake Paul had to have a second jaw surgery. And I know you might be thinking, that's unfair, Kevin. He needed more jaw surgery. Why does that make him the wanker of the weekend? Because he wrote this on Instagram. Had to get another jaw surgery. The screws and plates were coming loose because apparently I didn't rest for the past 2 months. What? That's what he put on the end of it. So the doctor said, hey, man, your jaw is broken after surgery. You need to relax. And he was like, rules are for idiots. And so now he has to get another jaw surgery.
Well, that's not good.
It's not good.
If you want to eat, you know, food that isn't in liquid form.
That's true.
Have you ever had a burger as a shake?
No.
Me either. But I kind of want to try it just to see. Would I like it that way?
I mean, we could surely make that happen. G-Bag is the masters of just throwing something in a blender and having you drink it. So we could probably make that
pizza
happen.
Pizza shakes.
Yeah.
You love pizza.
I do.
Would you eat a pizza shake?
Probably. I've never clamored for that, but maybe.
I want to create a shake store.
Okay.
That's only.
Like a shack?
Yeah.
Shake Shack.
Yeah, we call it something like that.
Okay.
But it's only regular. Like there's no, you're not going to find a vanilla shake.
Oh,
you're not going to find a strawberry shake.
Would you have other food there?
Or a chocolate shake.
Like, stop just listing shakes. Would you have other food there, like steak?
No. Steak, yeah. It would be steak.
Steak and shake.
Yeah, it would be a steak shake.
Okay.
Yeah. You want a shake that's actually tastes like something you'd eat for dinner?
We put
the mashed potatoes in there already.
I think if you could actually perfect that, you could be onto something. But you still need to finish your books, too.
Okay. All right. I got a lot on my plate. Or in my glass.
That's the slogan. Got a lot on your plate? Put it in your glass. That's the slogan. But we still have a lot of other work to do. All right. Let's talk about perhaps the most complex individual on here. Or maybe you just think he's a hate monger. Sean Strickland won his UFC main event at UFC Fight Night in Houston.
He beat Fluffy Hernandez?
He did. He did. By third round TKO. It looked great.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest win of his career. Certainly one of the biggest wins of his career. Now, he had this to say before the fight. As far as the pay scale, when you compare it to any other sport, the UFC is the most effed up. Athlete pay versus what the UFC is making, there's no argument there. It's not fair. It's predatory.
Oh, man.
And so a really strong statement out there, and I think the UFC has been pretty consistent. Their fighters make about 13 to 20% of total revenue, Whereas obviously in other sports, you see the push to get significantly closer or right at 50%.
Yeah, is there a CBA?
No.
They just, the deal is what the deal is.
I mean, and you know, that's what Dana White says. You're free to go work elsewhere.
And not many elsewheres are paying what that pays.
Exactly. Now we'll see if the new venture, which obviously Paul is a part of, will make a difference in that. But then there's the other part of Sean Strickland, where he has just the most shocking opinions about anything. He had lots of thoughts about the Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey fight, most of which I cannot repeat here because they're not FCC compliant.
Whoa!
He got his mic cut off at one point, and then he yelled at the PR staff and said, "Relax, UFC MF-er," before going off about another fight. So, kind of tough because he won a really important fight, but man, oh man, does he like to run down lots of different groups of people.
He has thoughts.
He has all
of the
thoughts.
He can't wait to get the microphone so he can express them.
I'm telling you. And sometimes I'm like, hey, you probably should have pulled that back several thoughts before you were done talking. All right, now to the winners of the weekend.
Winners of the weekend.
Give me cut number 13, will you please, good sir?
3-point game, inside 2 minutes to go.
Good pass.
Boozer for three.
Now, this was a super fun weekend for college basketball if you are a nerd like me. I know it's not March, but you had one play three and two play four to see how it all shook out. So Arizona, which was undefeated for a huge chunk of the season, they were victorious. They are now ranked number two in the country because the Duke Blue Devils have moved up to number one after giving Michigan just their second loss of the season. This was a huge deal for Duke because Cameron Boozer didn't rule all over every bit of the game, which if there is one knock against Duke that is very fair, is Cameron Boozer is awesome, but what else can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to do well even when he was not going insane. So huge victory for the Duke Blue Devils right there. Now let's talk about former Duke players. Con Knepel, 33 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 three-pointers against the Cavs. He trails only Allen Iverson in NBA history for a rookie with 30-plus point games, 5-plus rebounds, and 5 or more three-pointers. If you're on the list with Allen Iverson for basketball stuff, that's probably pretty damn good.
His release is so quick.
It is.
To be able to have that kind of arch on his shot, but also, I mean, it does sometimes just like, bink, you know, it's in. But just the way that he shoots, he fires it off so quickly. There's something about Ray Allen that it reminds me of whenever he gets his shot off that I really like.
And then there's Cooper Flagg.
But he doesn't deserve to be Rookie of the Year.
That's right, unless Cooper Flagg misses a bunch more games. Cooper Flagg, Saturday was Topps Rip Night, which you saw celebrated all across the country. Cooper Flagg, since they were playing the Pacers, went to a card shop in Indianapolis, and he spent $7,000 on Con Knepel rookie card. And it was a funny bit, because at the end, they were like, all right, so what are we looking at? And the guy's like, if you want all of them? And he's like, seven thousand. And then Cooper Flagg had to pretend like that was a lot of money to him. And he goes, is Con worth $7,000?
It would have been funny if, yeah, the is Con worth it? And then he reaches in, he grabs like a couple of dollars out of his right pocket, and then he pulls his shoe off, and he's pulling more. You know, he just keeps pulling dollars out, and he's like, all right, I was able to scrape this together, guys.
Yeah, $7,000. I had $4,000 in my shoe. But yeah, he goes, all right, Con's worth it, and he went ahead and said, deal, $7,000, let's make it happen. But the team that Mr. Flagg is on right now, cut number 8! The Dallas Mavericks, even though he didn't play, they broke their 10-game losing streak. Let's hear it.
Picked up by Klay Thompson. First possession of the fourth quarter. It's evaporating away on the Mavs here with 4 to shoot. Klay heaves it. Klay hits it.
Now, Corey, you pretended to fist bump or be fired up, but is that really how you feel?
Well,
did you want them to win this game?
He was supposed to be on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Oh, Cooper was?
Yeah. His appearance on the Tonight Show has been delayed or postponed because travel. 5,000 U.S. flights canceled in that New York flight. Mavs are going to remain in Indiana overnight on Monday.
See, I thought you were going to say it's because he was still hurt, but that makes sense, too. All right. Now, let's stick.
He's like, if I'm injured, I'm not going on the Tonight Show. Screw that. I got to be healthy. I got to be there for my team.
I like that. I'm very excited to see what his personality is like on the Tonight Show. Now, sticking with basketball, Nikola Jokic, he had another triple-double. He has the most triple-doubles in NBA history through three quarters with 81. 81 times in his career, he's had a triple-double by the end of the third quarter.
Track that?
Yes, they do.
That's fascinating.
It is. A little weird, but kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And then back to college. St. John's, they won again. They've won 13 straight games, their longest winning streak in 41 years. You know what happened that year? They went to the Final Four.
So what are you saying?
Might be time for the Red Storm to be back.
Oh.
But we saved that. That is the name of their mascot. That is not thoughts about how the next election will go or anything
like that. Hey, during election season, can you keep that drop around, though?
Yep. If there's, like, historic gains on the other side, you'll be like, hey, Kevin, you're wrong about this.
Hey, remember when you said this, Kevin? How you feeling now?
All right, and then we go. Sean Strickland's going to be furious. So we go to FC Dallas. They are victorious in their season opener. They defeated Toronto, mostly because we had their head coach on Wednesday. Did you know last year at home, they had 17 matches? You know how many of them they won? Six.
Boom.
And so now, that's not good. Now, they
made
are.
Made it sound good, though.
I know, and then you're like,
that's impressive,
hold
right?
On. Yeah, so six wins and 17 home matches last year. This year, they went 3-1, 3-2. Peter Musa is looking good to start things off, and 1-for-1 in winning at home.
Look at that.
Now you can say boo.
I'm excited. Dude, I'm getting excited for this season.
Heck yeah. We'll have more FC Dallas going down on Wednesday.
I dare you to have more of that.
Okay, we'll probably make that happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more of your clever but not FCC compliant texts, but also the C Block starring Corey Majors.
It will be a little mix of hits and misses, but also when you lose, can you claim to be the better team next on The Fan?
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.